Dixieland. Glory, glory, hallelujah.
Welcome back to the Jeff Bohr Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for sticking with us on this Wednesday morning. We're broadcasting live in Montgomery from the fourth floor cloakroom, to be precise, of the Alabama State House. Still to come, Steve Klaus. He is a lawmaker from Ozark, former General Fund Chairman Brian Brenyard from Tuscaloosa, the new member of the State House, taking the old Kyle South seat. Danny Garrett, tentative, he'll be here, but the chairman of the Education Trust Fund. And then we'll wrap it up with our Lieutenant Governor, Will Ainsworth. So we are jam-packed today, so please make sure you stay tuned. But joining us now, always a pleasure to bring on my next guest. Keep it true to our pledge that we will have these guys on at least once a week from here until the March 5th Republican primary. But Jerry Carl, our incumbent First District Congressman, joining us. Congressman, how are you?
I'm great, Jeff. I'm losing my voice, so if I sound a little peculiar, please work with me here. We've got about, 9 days left in the campaign, and I've got about 40 speeches to give, so I'm going to run it until it runs out of gas, and then I'll have to sit on the sideline, I guess. But things look very positive for us. I'm excited. Now, our message of talk the talk and not, you know, and walk the walk, I think that's beginning to take root. I think people are beginning to view me as the guy that gets things done versus my opponent. And, you know, that's the type of people we need. We got enough talkers in D.C. Lord knows we do there. You know, securing the border, let's go back to the Trump plan, build a wall, remain in Mexico, and deport the illegal immigrants that are here. We gotta work on cutting the spending. I'm on fancy word for budget committee. I'm on appropriations, and we cut some of those programs. There's 12 of them. We cut some of them by as much as 30%. I'm very proud. I didn't look at what I could spend money on. I looked at what we could cut money from. Then last but not least, you know, we need to, we gotta push back on Biden. His environmental issues, I call them environmental thugs. And, they're a bunch of terrorists up there. And we see it in Alabama. We see it in our district. Yeah, you know, we got to have people that will not just talk the talk, but walk the walk and push back on those people. You know, we'll all drive electric cars, but, you know, they have no plan on how to get us in those electric cars. So I think our message is beginning to work.
Well, tell me this, and tactically, you're really charging hard, hitting Congressman Moore on a number of things. But talk about that approach, and I guess is it to draw a distinction between the two of you?
You need to know who you're voting for, Jeff. I mean, just because, you know, a candidate's good looking and speaks well, is that the reason you vote for it? No. You need to know what his background is. His background, his roots will tell you where his heart's at, where he's at. I'm a giver. I've always been a giver. My mother's taught me that. So I do a lot of things that probably over and above in a lot of cases. But, you know, you got a candidate that's got 7 tax liens that he's had to clean up. You got a candidate that all he wants to do is talk about Trump. I mean, he rides Trump like a Shetland pony. But the truth is, he forgot to vote for him in 2016. So if you're that high on a guy and you forget to vote for him, I question that. And then the big thing today is the money that he's taken from Club for Growth. That doesn't mean a lot to the average voter because Club for Growth is just a fancy name. But it's a D.C.-based group that they're very hard on the farm bill. They don't like the farm bill, and they don't like also shipyard. So the folks that are listening on this radio better take that in mind. They are the never Trump. They are the never Trumpers. So to take, I don't remember the numbers, Jeff, you can clean me up on that, but it's less than $600,000 for campaign here this last week and a half. I think says a lot about the man that's running. Because he said in an interview, was it with you? That he would not take money from Club for Growth. Well, yeah, he's doing it.
And I mean, these are fair criticisms, but is it, Club for Growth's going to do whatever it wants. It's going to come into this race, and if it wants to run ads, we've litigated Citizens United.
You can push back on them and talk them down. You can tell them you don't want their money. You don't want to be associated with Never Trumpers. You don't want to be associated with a group that's anti-farmers. You don't want to be associated with a group that's anti-defense. You can walk away from it. You can tell them to keep their money. Now, after doing that, I agree with you. But right now, there's been no pushback. You know, he's broke, I assume. It's probably the only reason he's taking that. I haven't seen any numbers on him lately, to be fair. But I'll see him today. We'll debate a couple times today, and we'll go right on through. And we'll be in D.C. next week. We've got a possible shutdown coming up. So that's going to make it interesting on election day.
Well, and we'll get to hear just one more question on Club for Growth. I mean, Coach Tuberville had Club back at him. I mean, and I know they came out against Trump. I mean, they support a lot of candidates. Does it necessarily make them all bad?
Yes, but Barry made the point early on to tell everybody he was not going to take Club for Growth's money because of their views of Donald Trump. And now he's taking it. Now he's going, oh, well, I can't control them. Yes, you can. You can call them out. You can tell them you don't want it. You can tell them you don't need it. You can tell them, you know, I don't want to be associated with a group like that. I totally disagree with you. You can't walk away.
I get it. I mean, you need, if this is something he needs to own and answer to, then so be it. There are other candidates who do the same thing. But that's, I guess you made your point clear on that. Congressman.
They were a big supporter of Bill Hightower in my first race.
Right.
And of course, me beating him, I just made him mad. So, you know, it is what it is. We'll win. It just doesn't make it as easy.
And they've always been really, really, like, I never have understood why they were so aggressive with Bradley Byrne, even though he scored high on their their scorecard. They're an enigma to me. But they've been kind of made to be a boogeyman in some regards. But I don't really know. They play hard in Alabama politics, but it's...
They love Alabama politics. They're going to get involved in... So I'm told they're going to start getting involved in state politics, too. So just kind of keep your eyes open.
Well, and then we will. They have already a little bit. So, but that's a... as you well know, that's a completely different animal. We're joined by... go ahead.
No, I was going to say, but keep in mind they're a Washington-based group. I mean, they don't care about anything but D.C. and the values there. You're talking about the swamp? They are the swamp.
Well, in what way?
Well, I mean, they're trying to, they're like military, obstacle. I mean, they want those programs shut down because my guess is they probably have got stock in other groups. These are very wealthy billionaires that are playing in politics is what it amounts to. So if they can take a group like Alabama, a state like Alabama, and affect it, they'll do it.
Well, but is it entirely possible they're just philosophically opposed to big defense contractors in the way? I mean, and I'm not saying that's what Austell is, but do you not give them the benefit of the doubt that they are just philosophically smaller government?
How about our farm bill? How about our farmers? I met with a group last night. It was about 40 of them. And they're all on the brink of going out of business. When you have to pay $1.2 million for a cotton picker, and I'm over here in Dothan, and you got to pay $1.2 million for that, you got to pick a lot of cotton. And if we don't help our farmers and keep them in business so the next generation can take over those farms, we're going to starve to death. We have to take care of the people. We have to. Also, it's about 4,000 jobs, give or take any day. Those are 4,000 jobs in the Alabama community, Mobile community. I'm not going to apologize for standing up for them. You look at Novacell down here. Novacell, the old Fort Rucker, we've got to spend some money in that place. It is wore out. And Congressman Moore has done nothing to help these people, nothing. So we've got a heavy, heavy burden that's going to be laid on us after March the 5th to start getting this stuff moving. But I have a plan. I've already started working the plan. Again, I don't talk the talk. I'm a worker. You know, I dig ditches. So we've already started on some stuff for Nova Cell, working with Mike Rogers, working with Katie Britt, working with the aviation groups. I mean, we've already started. It's not even our district.
Well, Congressman, I want to move on to while we still got you here. I want to talk about the shutdown or pending shutdown. It appears, but is that where we're heading with this next pending impasse?
Well, I honestly think we're going to see a shutdown this time. You're not going to see me vote. I take that back. I'm not going to tell how I'm going to vote. I've learned. Don't tell people how you're going to vote until you see everything. But it's going to be a hard sell because we keep putting it off and putting it off and putting it off, kicking this can down the road. And we've got to focus on, you know, the business of the people and kicking it down the road. I mean, since the last CR we voted on, we really haven't talked much as a group about it. Now, they'll wait till the last week and start to chatter. But, you know, we should have already sat down. We should have already got these things moving. Maybe not fixed, but at least moving. So it's frustrating to us. And if it takes a shutdown, we'll shut it down.
Well, and that's where this is. I mean, can Republicans weather that storm? And you know how, I mean, you've seen how the media can react and Democrats, and they'll have a lot of allies in their corner on this. I mean, how do you feel about that?
Yeah. So, Jeff, you know me, I've been against a shutdown from day one. I don't think it really benefits, but we can't get anybody's attention in Washington. I mean, everyone's kind of just running their own race, leadership the same way. We've got to do something different. And again, until I see it, I'm not going to say I'm going to vote for it against it. But a CR is probably in the horizon. I think it's next Thursday. We'll vote on it, or Friday, one of the two. So I think it's coming. Whether it be for a few days or a week, I have no idea. But we got to get leadership talking about it.
Next question I have, Congressman. You know, here we are. You know, looks like it doesn't look like it, but it's real. The Mayorkas impeachment, and do you feel like that is maybe fulfilling kind of the mandate or the pledges that were made during that 2022 cycle?
I think that was a fair vote that I made. I'll talk about mine. I have been to a couple of events with a man. He is not honest. He's not honest with his country. When he talks about they've got it under control at the border, that's a blatant lie. Or he's very stupid. One of the two. And I don't think he's stupid. I think politically he's making a statement there to cover his boss, which is Joe Biden. Our vote was symbolic. We're not going to get him out of office. He'll be there. Only way we're going to fix him is get rid of Joe Biden. Only way we're going to fix the border is get rid of Joe Biden. Only way we're going to fix our environmental issues is get rid of Joe Biden. So when Donald Trump gets in there, I mean, it's going to be kicked in high gear. Folks, think about who's going to represent the Gulf Coast. Think who's going to be representing the Wiregrass. You've got to have somebody that can work the floor. You've got to have somebody that doesn't mind stepping on toes. And somebody that just doesn't talk all the time. I mean, they talk and they talk and they start shouting over one another. I'm a worker bee. I go and find people and resolve these issues. So we got to have people that can do that with Trump. Trump's not going to pull this wagon by himself. He's got to have people that will actually take the lead on some things and run it for him, run traps for him. So, you know, let's think about that in this election. That's a very important fact that people aren't giving much consideration to.
Last question, we'll wrap it up on this, and I asked your opponent this yesterday, how do you feel about, I mean, we spend a lot of time talking about the presidential election. How do you feel about Congress? I mean, particularly the House, the holding on a majority, is that something, what's the word around the room there?
No one's really talking about that. I mean, I read an article every now and then, and they talk about they feel like Republicans are going to keep control. There's so many races that are up in the air. I mean, I've literally been focused on my race, and that's all I'm focusing on right now. After March the 5th, I'll focus on the other races. So to answer your question, I can't give you a straight answer at this point. The Senate, I mean, everything leans towards the Senate taking control, which is exciting. As long as we can keep the Senate in control, we can kill a lot of bad legislation that comes out of the House. Or that got approved in 2020 when we went in as a minority. But Jeff, I'll give you a better reading. Let's say maybe in April or May.
But you want you think that it is, it's important. I mean, we know the presidential race. Who knows? But keep one of those two chambers just in case. It's got to be done just to keep these guys.
With Trump on the ticket, it certainly helps our chances, no doubt. Trump will bring voters out that normally don't even vote. So, again, I haven't given it much thought, but when you start talking about that, yeah, I mean that gives you a few extra seats by having Trump on the ticket. You know, he's on the ticket for us on March the 5th. I certainly hope people turn out and vote for him on March the 5th. Gonna show them that we love him in Alabama. Don't just sit back and say, "Well, we're Republican in Alabama; we don't have to worry about voting." Yes, you do. You better be heard. You better be heard, please.
Congressman, you're always very kind to come on this program, and we'll look forward to doing it again next week. Best of luck out there.
Thank you, Jeff. Anybody wants any more information, go to Jerry Carl for Congress.
Y'all check that out, Congressman Jerry Carl. There, we got to get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.